Coming events cast their shadows before. Now, this is a saying that is often proved by the Holy Scriptures. One illustration of this is found in Daniel chapter 5, and I would desire to bring it before us today. It is not at all that I have any claim of predicting the future, but I simply wish to unfold the Scriptures which clearly and unmistakably do so. Now, in Daniel chapter 5, we see Belshazzar, who was the last ruler of the Babylonian Empire, making a feast to 1,000 of his lords. It is a feast of revelry and drunkenness and idolatrous profanity. It was in defiance of God. Belshazzar commanded that the vessels that belonged to the Lord's house should be brought and desecrated by using them to praise the gods of gold, of silver, and brass and iron. These were gods that were made with man's hands, which are no gods at all. Now, in that very same hour, there came the fingers of a man's hand to write on the wall of the palace, which the king saw. It changed his countenance, it loosed the joints of his loins, and it caused his knees to tremble against each other. Now, in the writing on the wall is an event which was casting its shadow before. The destruction of Belshazzar and the Babylonian Empire was written, as pronounced by God that very night. It was written on those walls of the palace. In fact, the destruction was so close that we read in the latter part of the chapter that that very night Belshazzar was slain and the Medes and the Persians took over the kingdom. Not one of the astrologers and the soothsayers and the wise men of his kingdom, whom he called for, could read or actually understand the writing at all. But the queen mother, who heard of the event, came in and suggested that Daniel be called, a man whom she said had light and understanding and wisdom because the Spirit of God was in him. Now, in her husband's time, the time of his kingdom, that is, Nebuchadnezzar's, this Daniel had shown, she said, an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams, the showing of hard sentences and the dissolving of doubts. So she persuades the king Belshazzar, her grandson, to call for Daniel, and he does, and Daniel came in. The king offered Daniel many things as rewards if he would give him the meaning of the writing, but Daniel brushed all these aside, and then he proceeded to speak to the king. First of all, he tells him of his wicked ways, and then he reminded him of what his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had gone through in order to be converted to God. He was humbled, and finally he lifted up his eyes and acknowledged that there was but one God whom he accepted as his Savior. We read of Nebuchadnezzar's conversion in Daniel chapter 4. And Daniel says to him, "But thou, his grandson, O Belshazzar, thou hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." And then he proceeded to charge him with desecrating the vessels of the house of the Lord and not glorifying God, in whose hand his very breath was. And then, turning to the writing, Daniel proceeds to give the meaning of the writing on the wall. The writing was simply this, in verse 25, "Mene, mene, tekel, apersin." And the interpretation is given very simply and quickly, "Mene." It means, "God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it." Second, "Tekel," Daniel says, "thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." "Peres," Daniel says, meant, "thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." Now, that was the writing, and that was the meaning given. And we read then, that very night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom and then proceeded to rule in the Medo-Persian Empire for many years. Now, all this is written, dear listening friend, for our learning. The Old Testament is God's picture book. The desecration of the vessels of the Lord's house is symbolical of the corruption of Christendom today. In Old Testament typology, the vessels speak of the precious truths of God in connection with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior of man. They suggest the various truths of God, which of course in themselves cannot be changed, and they're all revealed for us in His Word, the Bible. But oh, how sad to see that Christendom has corrupted the truth of God in its presentation. Thank God it can never change it. The truth of God stands forever, but men have changed it in its presentation. Men have taken from it what they do not wish. They have said this is not inspired and that is not inspired, or else they have added to it their own thoughts. In either case, it is a desecration of the vessels of the house of the Lord. It's a desecration of God's written and living word. And when this is so, when this act is accomplished, it dooms the souls of men, and it calls for and will bring forth the just judgment of God upon it. Now, coming events do cast their shadows before. And just as there was the writing on the wall in Belshazzar's day, there is a writing on the wall, so to speak, today. A writing of God, dear friend, that speaks of the judgment that is to come on the corrupt religious system of Christendom. And this is portrayed for us very clearly. It's written for us in the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Revelation. And we notice in that verse 5 of Revelation 17 that this is referred to as the mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. The Spirit of God is putting forth the condition of Christendom that has corrupted the truth, gone its own way in denying Christ, His name and His word, denying Him the place that is only His as head of all and Lord of all, and substituting man and his opinions for Christ and the Word of God. This is what has been developing for centuries. This is what is coming to full fruition today. This is what is seen on every hand. Mystery, the Babylon the Great. Today it is seen in the amalgamation of all the sects of Protestantism and Romanism at the expense of the truth of Christ and the infallible Word of God. We are living in the Laodicean period, Revelation 3 speaks of. That means the people's rights. And how we see on every hand that the people's rights have taken over the rights which belong to the Lord alone. The people, with no love for God, have desecrated the truths of God and His precious word. This is Babylon the Great. This is what is going to come under God's just judgment. This is what the destruction of ancient historical Babylon typifies. The increasing ecumenical movement today is seen as the fulfillment of this prophecy. There is the form of godliness, but there is the denying the power thereof. There is a profession of love at the expense of righteousness and truth, which is no true love. This profession of Christendom today is that which is going to bring down God's judgment as unfolded in Revelation 17 and 18. Now, I wish to be clearly understood that when I speak of Christendom, I mean all who profess the name of Christ in one way or another. Now, thank God there are some who truly in this realm of profession know Him as a Savior. Perhaps I'm talking to many today who love Him, who know Him as Lord and Savior. You honor His Word. You know Him as your Creator, as your Redeemer, and you hold the Bible to be the infallible, inspired Word of God, and you know you have eternal life through faith in His name. Oh, is my listener in this class? I trust so. But if you are not, and you're not born again, you may be a member of one of the many organizations of Christendom, but yet be dead in your sins, and already condemned because of unbelief, and are sure to fall beneath the judgment of God, which is going to be meted out against all professing Christendom. Now, all the signs revealed by Scripture indicate, dear listener, that the end of the church's history on earth is at hand. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Violence and corruption in the world at large, and then the apostasy from the truth on the part of professing Christians. Now, God is going to judge professing Christendom with destruction, and He's going to bring again His people Israel, whom He is going to reveal to Himself to, and they are going to be converted and own Him as their king, and He's going to reign in a kingdom over the whole earth. That is going to come. But before the judgment falls, and before the blessing is coming to the earth, to the Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come according to His promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's going to come to the air. Personally, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we, the true believer in the church's profession, the one who is truly born again, we shall be changed, be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and then shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this event, the coming of Christ for His own to the air, will take every true believer, every member of the true church, which the Lord is building, the church that is composed of sinners redeemed by the blood of Christ. And the moment one puts his faith in Christ, he is added by the power of the Spirit of God to the one body, the one church, with Christ as head. When the Lord comes, he's going to take every true believer of the true church out of the world to be forever with himself in the glory. Let me ask, is my listener among that number? Now, after this event, the apostate church of Christendom will be here without Christ, without the Word of God. We'll continue on for a while, whether Romanist or Protestant, be left behind and will be judicially blinded forever because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They shall be damned. Oh, how solemn to think of this. And you notice, for a time, this system, Babylon the Great, will have power over the last political power of Western Europe, the revived Roman Empire of which Scripture speaks. Daniel writes so clearly in chapter 2 and chapter 7 and Revelation 17, 13, and so forth speak of. But God will cause the political power to turn upon the evil, false religious system that will be dominating it. I say God will cause the political power to turn upon it and bring total destruction to professing Christendom. This will be what the Spirit of God speaks of as spewing it out of Christ's mouth. Oh, what a time is coming. This is what the Scriptures fulfill as the fulfillment of the prophecy of judgment against Babylon the Great, the mystery. Dear listener, I wish, in closing, to appeal to you in view of this. First, if you are not saved, if you are not born again, you may be a member of a church organization, either Protestant or Romanist. But if you have never put your personal faith in Christ, in His precious blood, you are lost now, and you're condemned already. And if you are trusting your good works, or the ordinances of the church, as you call them, you are under a curse and doomed unless you repent and believe the gospel. It is only then that you can become a member of the true church. and be ready for the meeting in the air when the Lord comes. Oh, it's the church for which Christ died and rose again, of which he alone is head. Will you not, right this moment, turn to him and trust him and be saved? Second, I appeal to you, dear listener, you who may be born again. You know the Lord is your Savior, but perhaps you are joined together in an organization of man that denies the person of Christ and his word and his work. An organization that does not own him as Son of God and head, does not believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible, and one that does not follow all the counsels of God concerning the truth, not only of the gospel, but of the truth of the church, Christ's assembly here on earth. What are you to do? In Revelation 18, verse 4, we read, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Come out from among them, and be ye separate." And what should you do? Gather simply to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has said, "Where two or three are gathered together unto my name," that is, owning his authority, and bowing to all that his authority stands for as set forth in the Word of God, seek simply himself, to follow his word, to be guided by the Spirit of God. Paul says, the Spirit of God directing him, "Let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Oh, God grant that today these few considerations in regards to the coming judgment of apostate Christendom and what you and I should do may be heeded for our blessing and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Loving God, our Father, bless thy word today. Use it, such as it is, the sword of the Spirit, to penetrate deeply into the hearts and consciences of every one. For the glory of Christ, oh, that souls will turn to him for salvation, and then flee from everything that is against him, to be faithful to him while we wait for his return. We ask it in his worthy and precious name. Amen.